Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310. Or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.
Welcome to Legal News and Review. Recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence. And featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, so far in 2016, it's been a deadly year on Florida roads. This report came out from the National Safety Council. It was released some concerning figures on traffic fatalities in Florida. According to the NSC, in the first 6 months of 2016, that's just last year, nearly 1,600 people died in traffic crashes in the Sunshine State. And that's a 43% increase compared to the same time period of 2014. In fact, nationwide, the numbers of deadly traffic crashes are rising across the country. An estimated 19,000 people have been killed. And a total estimated cost, get this, of these deaths and injuries is $205 billion. Why the increase? Part of the blame is on distractions such as smartphones. Also, many drivers are being too reliant on advanced car technologies, such as backup cameras and lane-changing sensors. Today, we're very pleased to have on Legal News and Review Mr. Sean Pleas, partner in Goldman and Daskal, PA. And today, we're going to be discussing personal injury, but on automobile accidents. People see these commercials, you know, Robert, this guy and this other guy, I'm not going to mention names. But they don't realize what the complexity and a true litigator. But first, I'd like to welcome our legal panel. Of course, Michael Santucci.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good to see you, Michael.
Welcome everybody watching us on Facebook Live.
Yep.
And anyone listening on iHeart.
iHeart, TuneIn.
iHeart app worldwide.
iHeart, but also TuneIn and iRadio Now. I forget, and they send me emails. They say,
and
please
as
mention.
Always AM, FM radio all over South Florida.
Oh, 96.9, 103.9, 740. We cover, over 4 million.
God, we could break our arms patting ourselves on the back.
Absolutely. Right? You know? Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, Gary Singer is out sick, and Gary Ostro is actually waiting for a verdict in West Palm Beach, a two-day trial.
I want to say hopefully and not guilty, but yeah. I think the better thing to say would be hopefully justice will prevail. But Gary is a friend, and yep. Good luck, Gary.
Well, we asked Anthony Rodriguez to hang out as well. And Anthony, we appreciate you taking the time, coming in as a well-vetted attorney, and we promise not to embarrass you.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. My pleasure here.
Sean Pleas has a wealth of experience and knowledge dealing with personal injury claims. I mean, he worked for 3 years as a licensed claim adjuster, handling bodily injury claims for a major insurance company. This knowledge has provided him with unique insight and ability to understand what the insurance companies are looking for when evaluating a claim. That's so important, allowing him to maximize his clients' settlements, because the majority of personal injury claims do settle as well. And first of all, Sean, welcome to Legal News and Review.
Thank you, Phil, Michael. Pleasure seeing you guys,
Sean?
Again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good.
I said after I first met you, I think of you every time I pass that sign on Hillsborough, because that's where his office is. It's a very prominent sign with his firm name in it that you can see from Hillsborough Boulevard. Anybody going who's going to the courthouse there or getting off the 95 exit.
We actually had to have it redone because of the storm.
No kidding. Really? Because of Irma?
Yeah, it got damaged because of Irma. So we just had it replaced.
Oh, wow.
Probably about 3 days ago.
Did you have
ago.
A claims adjuster come and check it out?
No. Yeah, we determined that it wouldn't be worthwhile to make a claim on that one. So
within your deductible. Huh?
Yeah, right.
What actually is the definition of a personal injury?
Well, I mean
my brothers used to beat me up all the time.
Well, you know, what we handle is personal injury negligence claims. So there's different types of personal injury, and you can file a claim for personal injury if it's an intentional action. But what we focus on is negligence, where somebody acts in a manner that's not prudent or not reasonably expected for somebody to be acting. So the main thing that we handle is auto accident cases. There's also premises liability. But the auto accident cases are pretty straightforward as far as looking for what did the person do that's not in the normal scope of what somebody should be expected to do. So are they looking at their phone? Are they changing the dial on the radio? Did they not see that the light was red, so they run through the red light or they blow through a stop sign? Those are things that we look for when we're evaluating whether or not we can take on a case for personal injury. And personal injury is just, you know, is the person injured? Did they sustain anything that's going to cause them to suffer pain and future medical expenses?
What are you looking at in premises liability cases? You just told us about more auto accidents. First of all, who can be liable in a premises liability case? And what do you look for to determine whether or not somebody has a claim?
Well, in premises liability cases, it could be a number of factors.
Well, Mike, I told you the floor was wet when I slipped.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it could be, you know, if somebody leaves water on the floor, you know, somebody's not maintaining a sidewalk or their pavers or something in that manner. So it could be the owner of the property. If you can find the person that you know, spilled the water on the floor, that would be ideal. And it's not just because you injure yourself on somebody's premises. So you've got to show that the owner of the property, in most cases, the owner of the property, you know, failed to remedy the dangerous condition. They failed to fix the hazard.
So if it's a typical South Florida pouring rain out, and I invite my friend over for dinner, and he walks up the stairs 5 minutes after it stopped raining, and he slips, I didn't necessarily do anything wrong. I don't have a duty to go sweep the water off all my steps. You know, is that kind of a stretch there?
No, I mean, that's pretty accurate. That wouldn't stop somebody from probably pursuing a claim, but they'd have a pretty hard time convincing, you know, a jury or an insurance company to pay money, because what else are you supposed to do? As soon as you sweep out the water, it's going to come back in again. You know, there's standards, and the courts look for, okay, how long was the water there? You know.
Well, like that. When it comes to automobile accidents, though, and is this a myth? I could still recover if I was partially blamed for an auto accident?
Yeah, so Florida has what's called comparative negligence. So the best example that I like to use is, let's say you've got an intersection where you know, person A is traveling at 60 miles an hour in a 45 mile per hour zone. Person B has a red light. So person A goes through speeding, person B goes through the red light. Both of them contributed to the accident. So the question is, what percentage are they at fault? And that's where the arguments and the negotiation comes in addition to what is the value of the injury claim, is how much did you contribute to the accident? Most people would probably say the person that ran the red light is, you know, majority at fault.
Right.
But you can argue 50-50, you can argue 70-30, you can argue 99-1. So as long as you can prove 1%, you're able to recover. It's just a matter of, you know, how much of the damages are, and then you get that percentage of those damages.
Well, interesting enough, I'm originally from Illinois, been here 25 years. And in Illinois, full coverage means I have uninsured motorists. Now, coming here today off of 95 down to Broward, saw an accident. What a surprise on 95. Every time I'm on 95, I see an accident. But let's face it. These people sometimes don't have adequate insurance. And if you think you have full coverage, you probably don't, because they call PIP full coverage.
Right.
You know, they do. But uninsured motorists, I'm sure you've had cases that came to you where these people had solid cases, but there was no insurance to help, you know, pay the bills, so to speak.
Yeah, well, the problem is that especially here in South Florida, a lot of the insurance agents, independent agents, and some of the other companies will sell what they call full coverage. And what that means to the person buying it is, okay, I just want the minimum coverage. And in Florida, that's personal injury protection and property damage. So it doesn't cover if they injure somebody else. It doesn't cover that injured person for their negligence. It also doesn't provide them with coverage if the person that hits them doesn't have insurance. Mm-hmm. So Florida is one of only two states that does not require bodily injury coverage, which is beyond me. I don't know how they haven't changed that, but they haven't. So what I tell people is that it's very important to try and have uninsured motorist or as much uninsured motorist as you can, because there are a lot of people in South Florida that either have the minimum coverage or don't even have an insurance policy. So you'll be stuck in a situation where you can pursue a claim against mm-hmm. that person. You have every right to do it, but you're going to spend tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of dollars to get a piece of paper that
right.
says they owe you
we'll collect.
They owe you $1 million or they owe you 10 and you'll never
you
collect
also
it.
Shared with me if you have more than one car you could actually it's called stacking, is that correct?
Right, so if you you can talk to your insurance agent and ask them, okay, how do I multiply the coverage? So uninsured motorist coverages can be stacked, so you can get, let's say, just $10,000 in uninsured motorist, but if you have four vehicles in the household, that
right.
that 10 turns into 40, you know, or 20 turns into 80, whatever the coverages are, multiplies by that. Hmm. So obviously the cost of insurance goes up if you stack it, but that's something you would have to talk to your agents about.
But it's
about.
A clear benefit to be with it, because face it, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when.
Well, Sean, right. Uninsured motorist insurance covers underinsured negligence or a claim against a driver who's
a
underinsured
question.
As well?
Yeah, so Florida, some states will separate uninsured and underinsured. In Florida, mm-hmm. it's the same.
It's the same thing.
Right, so you just have UM coverage, and UM is bundled in with UIM, so uninsured and underinsured. You can do the same thing.
Gotcha. And so if somebody hits you as $10,000 of insurance, their insurance pays the $10,000, but your whole judgment is $50,000, your uninsured motors covers the other $40,000. If you have that much,
up to the limits of the uninsured motor.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah. I'm curious because we are a transient state, but we're also point to destination.
Yeah.
Over 100 million people last year came to Florida. You know, I think we should build a wall wow. around Florida and keep the others out. It's too crowded.
No, we
already.
Like the tax dollars. You know?
That's
you
true,
keep
too.
Them in, you know?
Yeah. But let's face it. There's truck traffic that comes down from Georgia. There's out-of-state drivers.
Yeah.
Is that an issue that you had to deal with, or is it more common than not?
What, in insurance covering out-of-state drivers, you mean?
Well,
or?
working with, if I get hit from somebody, maybe he's from New Jersey, North Carolina, or Georgia,
yeah.
whether it's a truck or a car, how does that actually work? I mean, I'm assuming that you've had cases like that.
Yeah, I mean, we get cases where the at-fault driver is mm-hmm. out-of-state. More often than not, their insurance company, I mean, there's the major insurance company, so they're probably going to have an insurance company that we're familiar with, and we'll just have to figure out what their insurance policy covers. You know, we send for the disclosure requests and try and find out what those policy, you know, what the minimum standards are in that state. Mm-hmm. Some states will send it to us. Some states will say we're not governed by Florida law as far as sending you what our policy coverages are. But we can figure out if they have a minimum set standard in that state to understand, okay, well, at least we know that there's there, you know, at least 2550 or 5100 or whatever the case may be. So we can usually figure it out even if it's out of state. So it's not too difficult. It's, depending on the insurance company, it can be.
Well, because of your background, I ask you these questions as a claims adjuster as well.
Sure.
When somebody's driving in a car, let's say I'm driving with Mike, and I get into an accident, Mike gets hurt, and I only have PIP. I don't have uninsured motorist, and it was an uninsured motorist, but he has uninsured motorist. Mm-hmm. Would that cover him?
Would it cover him or you?
Him, yeah. As a passenger.
Oh, yeah.
But it wouldn't cover anything with me, obviously.
Right, so generally speaking, and very generally speaking, but insurance follows the vehicle in Florida. So with the only exception being personal injury protection. So mm-hmm. If he's a passenger in your car, he has to use his own personal injury protection coverage if he has a vehicle that's insured. But your uninsured motorist would cover him in while he's in your car.
Well, that makes sense.
And then his uninsured motorist would also cover him while he's in your car if you didn't have enough.
Can Phil just pay extra for his insurance so I'm insured so he can give me rides home from the show more often?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Go for it.
So if I'm a passenger, then I can make a claim against the driver of the vehicle I was in. And yeah, maybe even the other driver, correct?
I mean, you can make a claim against the insurance policy if the driver of the host vehicle is what we call it. If they're at fault, you can make a claim against their bodily injury. If they're not at fault, if they have uninsured motorists, you can make a claim against that uninsured motorist policy.
I had a good golfing buddy who got in a bad accident on 95. What a surprise! Okay. And a year later, he started to walk weird and couldn't even play golf anymore.
Wow.
But it took over a year for him to realize that he was injured from this accident.
Yeah.
If someone waits like that, does that mean they don't have a case? Does that mean the other side will say, well, sorry, you didn't speak up, so?
No, not necessarily. I mean,
what is the statute of limitations?
The statute of limitations is 4 years for any negligence action. 5 years for the uninsured motorist.
And is that because the injuries don't show readily?
No, not necessarily. That's just the way that the legislature has set up the statute. I mean, there's states that have 2 year statute of limitations. So just it depends on what the state wants to do. But if the person waits a year before they start treating, it becomes that much more difficult because you not only have to show that you were injured from the accident, but you've got to show that the injuries were causally related to that accident. So the longer you wait, the more difficult it becomes to get a doctor to be able to give a professional mm-hmm. opinion that your injuries were actually caused by the accident. Sure. So you've got to find the right physician that's going to be able to convince a jury. So the longer it is, it's difficult. It's not impossible.
Yeah, but we grow up, especially myself playing soccer, the coach would say, walk it off, Bell, walk it off. And I'd walk it off. Didn't really help, yeah, but no. I would.
And just for our listeners, yeah. Sean's talking about car accidents, auto accidents in general, that the statute of limitations is 4 years. But
in the state of
Florida. Sean will also caution our listeners that there's some exceptions to that, and there's some situations in which the statute of limitations is actually shorter than 4 years. So really don't hesitate and don't wait around and don't sit on your rights. Call a guy like Sean or somebody that specializes in personal injury and don't wait out 3-4 years because in some situations it's two. So
right. It just depends on the situation. If it's a governmental entity, you've got to do certain statutory letters and meet standards. So the longer you wait, the more difficult it becomes and the more likely that you might be giving up your rights to pursue a claim.
PIP is only $10,000. 1970, you buy a new Corvette for $10,000. I walk into an emergency room, that $10,000's eaten up just like that. MRIs, you name it, intravenous, whatever they're going to do for me as well. And now what do? I can't afford any more treatment.
Yeah. So that's where it pays to have an attorney. The attorneys, we can find a doctor that's willing to treat you as long as they know that there's a claim pending. They're willing to treat the patient.
They take a letter of protection.
Yeah, they take a letter of protection.
They wait to get paid.
They wait to get paid. Yeah. Right. Defense attorneys don't like it. They make a big deal out of it, but that's their job. Mm-hmm. But it's generally speaking the only way people can find treatment because most physicians are going to want to get paid for their services up front. But these doctors want to know that there's an actual viable cause of action. They're not going to want to take or treat a patient that, we think is not being truthful and honest about the accident or the injuries or anything else. So they put their faith in us to say, yes, we think this is a viable cause of action. Does that mean we're going to win? No. We can't make any guarantees.
No.
Every case is different. You don't know what a jury's going to do, so.
And these cases can last 3 to 5 years, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, some cases settle very quickly. Some cases will take, 3, 5, 6, 7 years. I mean, depending upon the complexity of the case, depending upon, the treatment needed. There's so many different factors that go into it.
Okay, Sean, let's do a little role play. I'm a potential client. I come to you and I say, hey.
Yeah, right.
Hey, now. I come to you and I say, okay, I got into an accident. A guy hit me from behind. It hurts when I move like this or move like that. And, you know, I've some issues there from the accident. What's my case worth? I mean, my friend, my cousin had a case and he got $400,000.
Well, your case is worth.
But I'm being serious.
Yes. No, I mean, yeah. Your case is worth what it's worth. Anybody that asks me when they come in, what is my case worth? I'll tell them, I cannot tell you. I have no clue. It's going to be worth whatever jury's willing to give you. And that's really the only answer I can tell them.
But when you sue, you have to put amount or
no? When we sue, we only have to claim that the damages are in excess of
$15,000. Oh, wow.
So at the end of the day, we don't have to put a number on it. You know, most attorneys are going to want to put a number in the juror's head when they're making their closing arguments.
Right.
We don't have to claim a specific damage amount in the complaint.
How important is it to call the police if you've been involved in an auto accident?
Extremely important. The police officer is going to do an investigation. They're going to get the insurance information for the other side, make sure that the person has a valid registration, and you'll have that information to take with you, not only to know who you're going to have to pursue a claim against, but to prove that the accident actually happened. You just don't want to be stuck in a situation that you don't have proper information, or the other person gave you an invalid card or something along those lines. You know, it's not always fun to wait for the police. They are busy, and they have to come here. If it's not an emergency situation, they're going to make you wait, but I suggest to do it in every situation.
And what if the other driver's insurance adjuster asked to release my medical records? Should they do that?
We generally say no. I mean, if you're going to try and handle it on your own, you're probably going to have to at least get the records for them, and if you don't give them a release, because you've got to prove what your claim is worth. But that's why we suggest you hire an attorney, not only to go through what your rights are, but you know also your obligations to provide them with the documentation to support your claim. But you want to be able to not let them take advantage of the situation. You know, the insurance companies, most of them are, you know, they're good, but
right.
their job is to pay you as little on the claim as possible.
They're a business.
They're running a business,
right.
So. You know, the best thing to do is to make sure that you give them as little information without being deceptive, without being dishonest. But you want to give them enough to want to pay on your claim.
Won't, depending on the case and the severity, of course, but won't the insurance companies hire a private detective to watch people to see, hey, can they really lift their arms over their head or they can't? Or even people put things on Facebook,
yeah.
You know, innocuously.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they can hire private investigators. They can do that. It's expensive. That only becomes a problem if the plaintiff or the person is lying about what they can and can't do.
Right.
Then it's a problem. Facebook. We tell our clients stay off of it.
Well, tell them right now.
Yeah, yeah. Stay.
look at the camera.
If you're in an accident, don't do Facebook Live. Please don't.
And tell them. Don't. Oh, thank God I'm all right. Thank God nobody was hurt.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right, yeah. Don't give them any information. You know, on Facebook, social media, Instagram, anything like that. As tempting as it is, it's a plaintiff attorney's nightmare.
Yeah.
To have to deal with that. Because it's just one more thing that the insurance companies can use against you that you don't want them to. So.
And finally, on a contingency basis, why does it go from 33% up to 40%?
Just the amount of time and legal work that gets put in from a pre-suit case to a litigation case is substantial. You know, those fees are set by the Florida Bar, or suggested by the Florida Bar.
Right.
And the amount of time that an attorney and a litigator puts into a case is probably twice as much as a pre-suit case. So, you know, the fee does go up, and you know, we tell our clients that, and that's part of the evaluation phase for us when we determine, is this case really worth litigating? Do we think we're going to be able to convince them to pay enough on it to justify that increase in fees and costs?
Sure. Sean, if somebody thinks they have a premises liability claim or auto accident claim, how do they get in touch with you and your firm?
Okay. Our telephone number is 954-428 9333. It's 954-428-9333. Or they can reach us on our website at 954caraccident.com.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
that's
954caraccident.com. So those are the best ways to reach us. And anytime you call, we're happy to sit, you know, either talk to you on the phone, have you come in, sit down with you, make sure that it's something we can help you out with. So,
absolutely. And you have such an easy location to get to.
Yes.
As well. Yeah. You own the whole building. If that says anything else successfully.
I don't. We rent it. But, yeah, we rent the whole building. But, yeah.
You rent the whole building. I'm sorry.
I wish I did.
Yeah. But you have the whole building for your firm.
Exactly.
That's what I meant to say.
No, I know.
Oh, boy. It goes by too fast. I have so many other questions. I mean, it's so vital. Protect yourself with insurance. Uninsured motorists, listen, look into it. It's worth it when you need it. Mike?
Don't cause a personal injury case either. If you're listening to us on the radio and you're driving right now, put down your phone.
That's
keep
right.
listening to the radio. There's
That's
plenty
right.
to listen to. Thank you for watching us on Facebook Live. Thank you for listening to us on the iHeart app.
Yep.
And if anybody wants to hear past episodes of our show, you can see them on our firm's website. You can listen to them on our firm's
right.
website. See them soon. That's at 500law.com. That's 500law.com, including our guest today. Thank you very much.
And soon we're going to have a YouTube channel,
yes,
just so you know.
Yes. Right. And remember, everyone,
be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.